We're going again this morning back over. I started last week, and last week was really, I don't know, I listened to it again because I had to hear what I had to say. I just, one of those jobs in ministry. But the Lord gave me a scripture and actually gave me a title to the message. He doesn't normally do that. I don't normally get, usually I sort of, he moves in a direction and I just sort of get an idea. But he spoke and gave me a scripture. And he spoke the scripture to me from 3 John, the second verse to 3 John. 3 John's a short letter written, but really it's a powerful letter that's written. And he quoted it to me from the King James Version. And I said last week, I said, the Lord has a tendency with me lots of times to quote scriptures to me. He quotes it out of the King James because really I started off and cut my teeth in the King James Bible when I got saved. And that's what I mostly did. I went over to the New King James from teaching standpoint because there's a lot of things it says that you don't have all the these and thous and other things that it says. But there's sometimes a translation, it doesn't do a good job. It's like any ones or sometimes things where it's not really as good. The King James version is the closest to the original Greek. And it says this on the second verse. It said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And the Lord spoke to me and gave me this scripture. And he said, "I want you to title your this series you're going to do, Above All Things." And it's quite a powerful thing because We're going to read that through the 3 John today. There's some things we want to bring out from there that'll help you in the direction God wants to take us. But it's a profound thing that the Spirit of God operating through John spoke to a gentleman named Gaius. And this was, and if we really think about it, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, this was not a letter to a church. It wasn't. It wasn't a letter to the church. It was a letter to an individual. Thank God that we had it put in the scriptures for us or in the Bible for us for the church to learn. There's something that we can learn, but this was not a letter written to the church. It was written to an individual. And we can learn about some wonderful principles of things from this individual, about this individual. And one of the things we have here is John makes the statement. In John's opening, this thing, it says, the first verse says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." And then he said, and I'm reading from the New King James now, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers." But it's more better said that above all things. In other words, John said, look, above everything, above it all, now understand who and what he's talking to. This is not speaking to people in general. And it's not even speaking to Christians in general. This is a letter talking about the blessing for a specific individual, because we're going to find out there's a person talked about here. He ain't talking about this blessing for this Christian. He's talking about it for a specific individual. And we need to understand that when we read the scriptures, there's qualifications to blessings in the Bible. Christians have the idea that everything's for everybody. Well, it is if you line up with it. But if you, you know, salvation is for everyone, but everybody don't get it, do they? Well, see, people act like today it's just, well, if God's, you know, then it's just going to happen. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. And here Gaius, we find out, this was written to Gaius, and he said, look, Gaius, above everything. Now, in other words, Gaius is a born-again man. He's spirit-filled. That was the norm. Today, the church is abnormal. The church in the beginning, almost everybody was spirit-filled. Today, most of the church is not spirit-filled. Most of it's not. Most of them don't even believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They think it's the devil. Does the church ever get messed up or what? But he says to this guy about him, he and then he goes on to qualify, but he says, guys, for you, above everything. Now, just think of it, above it all, I want you to prosper and be in health above everything. This is my aim for you, Gaius, to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, we want to find out, we find out why this guy's soul, he said, even as your soul prospers, we find out about this individual because he says here, he loves him, he said, in the truth. And then Mike read the scripture. He says, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you, just as you walk in the truth." He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers of the truth." Now, this whole thing is laid out in dealing with the truth, and we need to understand it. He talked about this Gaius dealt with his soul as his soul prospers. In other words, we deal with the soul realm. The Bible tells that the Word of God will divide soul and spirit, joint marrow. In other words, the Word of God will divide what's spirit and what's soul and what's body. There's a difference between the two. I don't know if you never noticed, but your body has a loud voice. And I'm not talking about just your voice that you speak with. Your body, in fact, most of Christians are dominated by their body. Whatever their body says, that's what they're dominated by. It has such a loud voice, and people yield to that. But there's one thing you know, no matter how in your spirit you are, that you're saved and you're born again, you're a child of God, if you don't get your soul, you don't get your mind, will, and emotions in the right direction, you're going to have nothing but trouble. Your body is going to be the dominant force, always. Number one, the way you think is going to determine the way you believe and what you do. You must deal with the soul and bring the soul under, you know, some rule. And I know people don't like to hear that today. They like to hear what they call freedom. There is no freedom if there's no rules and regulations. There is no freedom. And this idea of freedom to do what you want, my words, that's what the devil loves. The devil loves that. People who live by, you know, lawlessness. The Bible talks about lawlessness. We're not lawless. Hallelujah. We got rules that we follow. But we need to understand there's a truth. And this man's been walking in the truth. Now, I want you to understand what he's doing, because the Lord spoke to me this week about ministering these things. And he wants you to know this. This, really, the message that I'm preaching basically is for this church. It's for you. This message ain't for everybody out there that'll hear it, because they may not be walking in truth. And we want to understand what Gaius was doing was a really important thing, because this Gaius was doing something that was different than, say, the norm was going on. What he's talking about, these ones that are going through and he's sending on, if you study the history of this thing, there were traveling ministers were coming through that area and things that would come into there. And these were people called of God to minister. And he was helping them on their way and giving them money and stuff and doing things to help them on their journey to go minister to other people. We're going to find out there's a guy who stands against that. And we need to understand, this is one of those things. I found this out in my early Christianity. Your number one agenda in giving in your life should be the number one thing, and what you give to is to further the gospel. The church today has had huge problems because their number one giving is to feed the poor and not to get the gospel. They don't care if people go to hell anymore as long as they have full stomachs. They'll go out and give people money and never preach the gospel to them and tell them. We're not in it to just be. We need to understand the New Testament, the care of, they were doing most of the time was the care of other people within the church, not running around and taking care of everybody and everything. And we need to understand the difference between the two. The number one thing that Christians can be given, I found this out, the number one things that God dealt with me in success in the areas of giving is my willingness to give to help other people get the gospel out. If that ain't your number one agenda, then you're not on God's agenda. This church is on God's agenda. You know, just like, you know, you folks, you know, the offering we got when Todd was here, you know, we had a really great offering, and then we got $1,300 and some for Todd. And then plus the church put on to it, and we gave $2,000 to Todd. See, we're giving with furtherance of the gospel. We're giving. So I want Todd to be able to go on and minister to other places. And we, like we do as a church, what we get about, $600 goes out of our church every month, goes in to help in other ministries. That's what it does. Helping others fulfill what God's put in their heart. We need to do that. See, too much of the church world, people want prosperity with selfishness. I'm very strict about ministries that I give to. What are you doing? What are they doing with their money? You know? When they're turning around and you know, begging for money, I want to know where money is going out to. And I have to find out. I don't care anymore what ministers tell me they do. Because I found out too many times they're liars. Sometimes they ain't doing it at all. And some of the biggest names become some of the biggest liars about what they do. Now, they all ain't that way, but there are many of them that do. They lie about what they put their money into. They take offerings, and you send offerings in, and sometimes they collect millions in offerings, and maybe a less than $100,000 will actually go to that, and the rest of it goes to other stuff. There's one thing about this church. We take an offering for a thing, it goes for it. I'm not a liar. And I'm going to tell you what, there's ministry, many ministers and Christians are liars. They collect money. I know one minister. Thank God his ministry fell apart. But he was a big name for a number of years back in the 80s. And his ministry's gone. I didn't even hear it. I know what he does anymore. But he was raising millions of dollars to build churches and found out he wasn't doing none of that. Wasn't none of it going on. And you know, nobody ever checks out nothing with people. I don't care what some guy says he was doing. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know. You want to find out what people do. You know, man, anybody can have a story, in my words. All you got to do is put some sad pictures on TV and people just today, you know, go to, now you do it online. People would turn around. We had a neighbor who turned around, his wife died, and he went in one of those crowd things of raising money, and people gave all kind of money, and he got all this money. He got all this money people gave to him, and he's nothing but a party born a drinker, and she died from drugs, and he turned around, and so he went cheaply, had her cremated, and he took the rest of the money and bought himself a truck. All these nincompoops helping people. I'm so sick, and even the Christians get into it. I don't care what some Christian puts online and says. I'll tell you what, I want to know whether I want that money. If that money isn't handled by somebody other than them, they ain't getting none from Ed. I got good sense. Man, I'll tell you what, it's just throwing money away. You ain't going to prosper doing that. You ain't going to prosper. Get out of that stuff. I don't care what anybody says, they have a need. I want to know. And most people that have needs, you don't want to give them the money directly. This church gives nobody from a need standpoint, gives them cash in their hands. We have always, you know, if somebody had, we've paid people's rent or we've done something, but we don't put any cash because I found out over the years, you do that, you forget it. The stuff don't get paid. It don't happen. You don't put cash in people's hands. That's the last thing you want to do. I mean, look at our welfare system. We let them get cash out of it, and what have people done with it? Boy, isn't a nation just doing great? Our system's really running wonderful. All the kids are fed. And then we're turning around raising money to feed the kids because we let the parents blow all the money and buy drugs and booze, and now we're trying to, you know, helping them keep up their lousy lifestyles. Dear God, aren't we having fun? But see, you can't walk along with these things. You've got to walk in truth. One of the things that we need to do is we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. And this is one of the things dealing with that God wanted me to deal with today is renewing your mind with the Word of God. We have to do it. Now, understand, the success that Gaius that John wanted Gaius to have was based upon what he's doing. This man's walking in truth. He's in the middle of doing the will of God or what God, he sees what God is doing. He understands what God is doing and he is actually fulfilling and walking in line with what God wants him to do. He's walking in truth. He's fulfilling God's plan and purpose for his life and helping others do the same. And this is what, the number one thing in life isn't your need. The number one thing you got to learn is renewing your mind. The number one need for your life is you doing the will of God. That's the number one. You need to know what God wants to do and find that out. Prosperity, God's prosperity. Look, you can prosper doing all kind of things. There's people who got rich. I mean, I could take it back. We studied, you know, in Bible school, the ministers from the 50s, and some of them died in their 20s. Huge ministries. Man, guys loaded with money, but died prematurely because they were out of the will of God. The devil came along and killed them. The devil took them and killed them because they're out here out of the will of God. Now, people saying they were prospering. They weren't prospering. If you sit down and looked at the things that they did and the stuff that opened the door to the devil to kill them, it's because they had unrenewed minds. They weren't walking in the light of the truth. Kenneth Hagin said during the 1950s revival, they had this big organization that all the revivalists would belong to. And he told them this. He said, when you guys are dead and gone, I'm still going to be here preaching, because you build your ministry on the gifts of the Spirit, I build mine on the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, Christian, if your life is built on the flash and everything else of some guy's miracles and all that kind of stuff, it's got to be built on the Word. Jesus ran to see the flash of people ran to see the flash of Jesus' ministry, but the people that didn't listen to His words didn't make it. They didn't follow, they didn't walk, and they ended up in 70 AD being judged and killed. The devil killed them. See, we need to understand this. Getting the Word of God in you, that's the number one thing that you need. When I came into the kingdom January 1980, I got born again. That's all I ever heard, was you got to get the Word of God in you. That's what they all preached all the time. You got to get the Word in you. It wasn't all this thing. Come into a service, you know, we'll preach for 20 minutes. You're really going to get once a week 20 minutes and you're going to really get the Word in you. Boy, I'll tell you, we're just going to be great Christian people. Dear Lord. And then they come along in candy services, you know, telling you, yeah, just do this, do that, hand your check in, life's going to be all right. Has it worked? No, it hasn't worked. I'm going to tell you, it takes work. Like with myself, it takes work to change the way you think, to get you over. Gaius had a prosperous soul. He had a prosperous soul, and John tells him, because of the prosperity of his soul, in other words, his soul came to the point where he knew, in other words, God's agenda was on the list for him. That was on the top of the list. And he's out here fulfilling that walk. He's walking in truth. See, he qualifies for above all things. And the Lord said concerning the people here in this church, we qualify to have this. This church puts the right things in the right place or in the right order of what's important in life. See, some people think it's how many people you get. Well, you can get crowds, but you ain't in the order of God. Because most of the people ain't in line with the order of God. They're all doing their just little religious junk, religious thing, playing their games. It's a matter that we fulfill God's plan. What God wants to do. We want to further the gospel. We're not just, I was part of a big ministry for a number of years. I was part of a big ministry, and I had a missionary who was involved in that ministry. And we as a church here would get, we're doing certain things with missions. And this missionary said to me, he said, you're totally different. He said, this other big church, he said, they give to missions, but he said, you're different, he said, because he said, you don't just give to missions. He said, you know what you're giving to. He said, you don't just throw money out there. He said, this other church was putting millions into missions every year, millions. And I'm going to tell you what, I found out over the years, I bet half of that was being thrown away by the people they were giving it to, because loads of people they should have never been giving it to. But see, and the whole thing about it, they're raping the church. They're taking the money from the people, acting like they're leaders that are following God and don't even know what's going on with these people. And the Lord's telling me about different people within that ministry of ones in ministry. Don't give any money to them. Don't hang around them. Don't. And I'm sitting over, and the head guy, he's just throwing it all out to those people. In fact, those people got the people that were missing the most were getting the most. Because they had all the flash and they had all the stuff. They had all the right stories to tell. They had all the right, they weren't doing none of it, but they had it all and nobody was checking on them. And I didn't have to go check on them, God told me. You see, it's important. I don't understand how these people, I don't understand. If you can't be led by the Spirit of God, I don't know how to do it any other way. I ain't bright enough. God needs to tell Ed. I learned a long time ago, you can't live by what you see. You can't live by what you see. It can be so deceiving. Sometimes things that you see, they are good, but you don't know. You need to find out, is it or isn't it? Just because I see it, what is it? Gaius is walking in the truth, and that's what we want to do. Because, you know, Lord has me pray, above all things, God wants us to prosper and be in health. People that are walking in the truth, God wants them to prosper and be in health. And we talked about what prosper, this word prosper here, doesn't mean just money. It's about your road in life. In other words, you're prosper in the road and accomplishing. You've got a life to live. It's about prospering in life. It's not about, you can prosper with money and never prosper in life. Not have any life, live a mess, and have money. Dear Lord, look at the people got money and live a mess. I mean, don't you want to be in the Hilton family? Dear God, people got hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars, and their kids are insane maniacs, weird, sick perverts, and they've been turned into that through the money. And I want to tell you, as a Christian, you'll do the same thing. If you don't get your soul fixed up some, you'll do the same thing if you get money in your hands. You'll do the same thing. That's why you want to always, now you've heard me say this time and time again, you want your soul development to be at a place where you can handle money. If it's not, if your spiritual development hasn't outgained your money, you will follow the money. I'll guarantee you, you'll follow the money. You'll follow it. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to do that. You don't want to follow the money. Hey, the money's good to have. I like having money. But it can't be up on the agenda that any big thing. Money is a wonderful tool, just like a hammer is a wonderful tool to drive a nail in. But, you know, a hammer is no good for taking bolts off. People think they can fix their problems in their life with money if they just get money. This has been the big Britain-marred country. And our welfare system and all this so-called help, thinking we're going to help people by giving them money, and we've destroyed them. And all the do-gooders sitting in, even in churches, cheering it on. Cheering it on. Crazy, crazy things going on. So here we have this man that God says is through the apostle, which I think John, and understand this John, this guy has walked with Jesus. This is the guy. John walked with Jesus. He knows what Jesus taught. He knows what Jesus said. Now just think this guy, John. John taught and said, so he must have heard this stuff from Jesus. You don't love your brother, you don't have eternal life in you. Woo. We have all this peachy stuff that's taught today, but my words, did John just make that one up on his own? Well, see, there's a lot from the Bible that the church don't like today and people don't like to hear, or they don't want to discuss it or don't want to talk about it. But we must talk about it. We got to talk about it. Jesus taught it. That's why John said, we handled him, we touched this guy, you know? And John said that he was teaching the stuff that he was taught. I don't believe John lied. But we have this guy, Gaius. And John says, what a thing. Don't you want to have it said to you? You know, above all things, I want you to prosper me. Don't you want God to speak to you and say, man, I want you to make it. If anybody out of the, I want you to make it. That's what we want to hear. You know, it's like when the Lord spoke to me and told me about financially, he said, you don't receive back at the rate that you give. You know, I'd rather have God tell me that than me run around asking for money all the time. See, I've always been slower about the money thing because I've watched too many people and too many ministers. Money is the first thing on their list. There's too many of them out there. They look at their people as dollar signs, and as one thing is, I don't like that, and I don't want you to ever think. I'm going to tell you, any offering that we take for anybody or anything, none of it goes to Ed Gibson. It goes for what it was sent to go for. I'm going to tell you, it isn't like that out here. Hallelujah. We got this guy, Gaius, And I believe, and we can say this, God sent. Gaius, I want you to prosper and be. I want you, hallelujah, to prosper and be above everything. I want you to be the guy to make it. Because why? You're walking in truth. You're a carrier of truth. If anything God wants is the people that carry the truth, He wants them pushed up to the top. He wants them pushed forward. Because let me tell you today, they're not getting pushed forward by most ministry. All the scum and the slag is what being pushed up for people to see. And it's time. God wants to bring His people, the ones that are walking in the truth. He wants to push them up and let people see these folks. Hallelujah. He wants people to see. I mean, we have integrity here at this place. We have an integrity, and God wants it pushed up, that people can see that there's people of integrity. We're not just playing another religious game. We're not just doing. And He wants it pushed up. So He said, above all things, He wants us to prosper, and He wants us to be in health. Above all things. Well, I can see that that's true when the Lord spoke to me years ago and said, with my people, other than, He said, people get born again and they fill with the Spirit. He said, the number one thing I want is my people to be in health. He said, that's the number one thing. See, people get born again, filled. God wants His people to be healthy and well. That's His intent. It's number one. If you don't change, and we're going to talk about these things as we go on. If you don't change the way you think, you're going to be crippled in the areas of prospering in life, or your journey in life is going to be affected by it. Your health is going to be affected by it. See, there's things that I learned. Is number one, there's things that God has already given us that the church is trying to get, but it's already been given. It's already been given. Now, I want you to, here's the counterpart. Let's go look in 3 John here. Here's the counterpart of a guy who now in verse 9 of 3 John is mentioned. And it says, I wrote to the church, but this guy pronouncing his name is Diorephus, is actually how you pronounce it, Diorephus. He says, who loves to have the preeminence among them does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does prating. And prating just means to ridiculing or ranting against. He said, against us with malicious words, and not content with that. He himself does not receive the brethren and forbids that those who wish to, putting them out of the church. He said, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil is not, who is what? Has not seen God. Here's a pastor of the church, and John said, this guy's not seen God. There's pastors and ministers out there that ain't seen God. John don't mix all these words as, oh, everybody, you're okay, you just might be a little messed up. He said, you ain't seen God. This guy's out here, he has no clue. He's down there. In other words, he's doing the opposite of what Gaius is doing. Gaius is helping the brethren and helping further the gospel. This other guy, he thinks he's the only gift in town. He thinks he's the only minister and nobody else knows the Bible and nobody else, and he's going to run the show. In other words, you know, his congregation belongs to him. It don't belong to Jesus. It belongs to him. They're not God's people. They're his people. And he wants everything for himself, you know. We don't want offerings going to somebody else. We want to keep them all for ourselves here, see. Then I'll prosper. Because I'll have my hand in the offering plate for sure. We don't want money going out of those other people over there, you know. We don't want that. And that's what this guy's doing. See, he's not doing. I mean, just think about the Apostle John, the one that walks with Jesus. He won't even allow him to come in. He doesn't want him in his church. John said, I'm coming to town anyhow. Hallelujah. John's coming to town. That's not good. We don't know what happened to this guy. It could have been an Ananias and Sapphira act. He may have left sooner than he anticipated, but we don't know that, but hallelujah. We found out there's another guy here, says in Demetrius, verse 12, has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things, to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but said, I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet the friends by name. So, but in other words, this letter, so it's a short letter, but it's a very profound letter. And I think the church, especially in the areas of teaching prosperity, I've never heard anybody ever use that whole chapter to talk about prospering. They always take the second verse out of that. But we need to know, why is this guy prospering? What happens to this guy down here that's not prospering? It's one of the things, it's a mindset, the wrong mindset. I was in a church for a number of years, and the guy thought that his church was the only one supposed to be a town, that God had given him the city. Man, you know, get a life, dear God. I got the only word that this is my town. And I think, my God, cast a devil. He didn't realize. He got over, and it's demonic. It is. It's demonic. You get over in that thing, and you don't start recognizing the gifts in other people. Other people got, sometimes people don't use gifts right, but now they got a gift from God, you know. It don't matter. I mean, my words, we got some ministers in this town that ain't spirit-filled, got more sense than some of the spirit-filled ministers got. Know the Bible better. It's amazing. I mean, I sit down sometimes, and sometimes I listen to different ministers in the area. Some of them have things on the radio, and I listen to them, and I feel so sorry for some of them. I think, dear God, poor guys ought to read the Bible. They went to a cemetery, and all they ever preach is what they were told instead of what's in the Bible. And it's like, my words. Get down and read the Bible sometimes. It's a really good book. If you find out what it actually says, it'll bless you. But we find here there has to be, in other words, there's going to have to be a change in an individual's soul where they come to the place where they come to that place that it's above all things that you prosper and be in health. Because if there's not a change, and I want you to go over to look, because we're going to read some things over the book of Joshua, the first chapter. The Lord told me to do these today, is to go over these specifically in these scriptures. And over to Joshua, the first chapter. Now, the end of the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 34 tells about Moses' death. And I want to read you this about Joshua coming into what we're going to read. In verse 9 of 34, Deuteronomy says this. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, before Moses left, Moses had laid hands on this, on Joshua. And so we found out that Joshua has a spirit of wisdom. He has a spirit of wisdom on him. He was Moses' protege. But we want to look at something here because this is hugely important, because we want to go over to Joshua, and I want to start in Joshua, the first chapter, and start with the first verse. We want to read these because I want you to see this. Moses has laid his hands on this guy. In other words, there's an anointing came on his life from Moses. And this is God speaking directly to Joshua. And so we have these words. Now, you can decide whether they're from God or not. That's up to you. See, I believe the Bible's the Word of God, and I believe God said these things, and say, well, do you have proof of that? Yeah, it bears witness, because I practice these things, and they work. I'll tell you, they're the truth. Now, in Joshua, the first chapter, in verse 1, says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, now, remember this, before this event happened, he had already had hands laid on him, and he's had an anointing on him, and he got a spirit of wisdom, and the people see it. They know it. They know this guy got the same anointing from the standpoint of the spirit of wisdom that Moses had. They can see this. It's on him. Now, it says, Moses, my servant's dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Now, I want you to understand here, faith. Understand faith when you read the Bible and what's not faith. Listen to this. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. God is not going to give them the land. He's already given them the land. I want you to understand this. Jesus Christ healed you 2,000 years ago, and I want to tell you what the real truth is. He ain't ever going to heal you again. He's already done it. He already took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. You're supposed to believe that it's true. See, people don't act in faith. Now, you need to learn these things because this is the truth. The truth was, see, this is why the first group couldn't go into the land. They didn't believe God gave it to them. They saw the people over there and said, well, they're all big giants. Look at them. God, boy, we can't go over there. God had told them before that he gave them the land. I hear preachers all the say, yeah, well, God sent them in there and said wherever they put their foot, he'd give it to them. Biggest lie was ever told. He had already given, he said, I've already given you land. If God hasn't given it to you, you have no place to believe for it. If the promise is not already made, if I make a promise and say to you, you need some help, I'll promise you tomorrow I'm going to come over to your place at 9:00 in the morning. You have no place to stand with me in any kind of faith that I'm going to be over there unless I promised I would do it. Now you can say, he will be over. He said so. People keep trying to come to God to get what he already said he gave them. I've watched this over the years in the teaching in faith, and even what they call really good faith teachers. I don't get them how they teach it. I'll never forget the change in my life. I was only born again about a year, less than a year actually it was, when I got that revelation that healing was already given to me, that I'm not trying to get it anymore, that I was healed. By his stripes you were. Is the word past, present, or future tense? Which was it? Were past tense. I were healed. Ed were healed. I might not look like I'm healed, but I were. Get over it. I were. If I talk anything to God other than that, I am speaking unbelief and not the truth. See, this is what there's got to be a renewing of the mind. If you want to go to this place where you're going to prosper and be in health, it's going to be as your soul prosper. You got to change the way you think. If you listen to most teaching, I'm sorry, it's wrong. And I'm not trying, I don't believe these people are bad or trying to teach wrong. But people can't get, we have so much cliche teaching and so many words that people have said so many times. And everybody buys it and keeps saying it. And then I get these people when I teach it, well, you know so-and-so, he has a big ministry, he said this. Yes, I don't give a rip what he said. What does the Bible say? I get so tired of people bringing that to my face. When they sit and listen to me preaching and walk up my face, say something dumb like that. Dear God, we got to wake up. We can't be like the world out here and have any thoughts we want to have or anything. I don't care how big a guy is. My words. Jesus didn't have a very big ministry when he left. My God, they killed him. But I tell you, his word's the truth. And if he said it, I don't care if Billy Graham says anything. If it ain't lying with Jesus, Billy's wrong. And we got to come down to it. You'll never change your soul till you start the Bible's true and everybody else is lying. It's a lie. If they ain't saying what the Bible says, it's a lie. Brother Hagin, you should tell, if you read it, it's different. The Bible says different what I said. It's wrong. You follow what the Bible says. Dear God, I'm glad to have somebody I can follow like that. And I realize the power of these words of God are incredible. And we get these truths in us. If we can change our soul, how far can we go? Dear Lord. The church has been so hampered by the last 10, 15 years of teaching, has so minimized the church because of all this garbage of the world's been brought in, and people buy it and want it. They like it. They like to hear they can live scummy lives and they get away. Man, I don't want to live a scummy life. I did that. My God. I did it for 30 years, lived a scummy life. What do I want that again? What do I want permission to sin for? Some dumb guy, just because he has a big ministry, runs around telling him, you don't have to repent anymore. My God, the devil is speaking straight through the man's mouth, destroying people's lives, and they love it. Because, hey, no, I don't have to repent. I can just go ahead and do my thing. Oh, yeah, we want to have that. Oh, my words. I'm going to buy his books. I don't touch his books. Wrong spirit. I don't care what he writes is even true. I don't want his books. He's got a wrong spirit. Till he repents and turns from it, and he ain't about to because there's a lot of money in it. A lot of people love it. It's a big money maker. And dumb people go with it. You know, 1 John, the first chapter, not written to the church. I mean, you have to out and out be so stupid and can't read to see that, to say that. I mean, it's absolutely, you have to be a total ignoramus. And anybody who believes it, what he says is a total ignoramus too. You gotta be hoodwinked by the devil to think that. We gotta learn to expose this stuff and throw it out there. The church has been too nice to these people who destroy the church. We've been too kind to them. We need to quit being kind to them. They don't care who they destroy as long as they can line their pockets. We need to bring an end to this stuff. We need a voice again. That's what I love about Donald Trump. He's a bull in a china closet. I love it. Because I'm going to tell you what, I want God to raise up ministers that divide. If you want all this unity stuff, you and the devil are going to have a great time together. A nice eternity, because God is not bringing unity. He's tearing it up. What happened when all the sin was going on at the Tower of Babel? What did God do? He divided them up. God is not opening borders to bring everybody in and everybody be the same. He's not doing that. The Bible says God set the boundaries of the nations. God set boundaries. Man who take them down are listening to the devil. God don't want, because what happened to America? You opened the boundaries and just let anything come in. And now Christianity is criticized and all the other ungodliness is praised. Ungodly people. Oh yes, all this so-called peace and safety and all that stuff. The Bible says sudden destruction comes. I read the book. See, we need to get back to a few different things. Hallelujah. We need to get back to the Bible. Most Christians don't have a renewed mind. That's their problem. Brother Hagin said the number one thing needed in Christianity is a renewed mind. It's a number one. And what do we renew it with? The truth. The truth is going to run cross-grain of American culture and most of the cultures in this world. Most of the cultures in this world. I can tell you why. You know, you go. I can take you. I've been in numbers of nations, and I can always tell why a nation's poor. Their culture, poverty runs because of the way they believe and act in their culture, and their culture can't be prosperous because they don't follow in line with the Word of God. They have their culture. Christians everywhere should prosper, and if you become a Christian, your culture should change. It should change. You shouldn't be living like everybody else. Well, this is what we do in our culture. I don't give a rip what Americans do in their culture. I took on a new culture when I accepted Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care what you can get away with in America and what you're allowed to do. I don't care. When I go to another country and I preach the Bible culture. And I've told people already, you're only going to limit yourself following God if you keep following your culture and your nation. You've got to take up the culture of Christ and begin to follow it, no matter what your nation does. This is our mess in the American church today because it's opened itself up to the culture of the world and taken it in. And then turns around and calls itself Christian and it ain't Christian at all. It's pagan. It's paganism. Loads of people think they're saved are going to end up in hell. Loads of them are going to end up in hell because they've been bought in under a false religion. It's not truth. That's not the truth. Only the truth can make men free. Only the truth. Let's come back to the truth again. Hallelujah. Well, all that was free. Glory to God. God has a plan here for this man, Joshua. I haven't forgot about him. Here we're over. But every place he's going to put the sole of his foot, God said, I've already given it to you. Hallelujah. But understand this, Joshua believed that before. Him and Caleb said, oh man, we can go in the land, we can go there. See, all those people heard what Moses said, that God could give them the land. The majority, and a great majority, just think, we're talking about, there's probably somewhere around, well, we know this, there was over 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and up. Over 60,000 of them. And we know this, that only two men out of that group believed what God said. Only two men. All the rest of them died in the wilderness in the 40-year period. All the rest of them died. And I want you to understand, when they died in the wilderness, they had went so far with God that it was never been able to be changed. They couldn't change it. They were going to die. you can go too far with God. You can get out there and keep following in sin till after a while you can't change it. God called judgment on those men of Israel, and that stood for 40 years, and Israel didn't go into the land till they were all dead. If you were 20 years old at the time and that took place and you didn't side with Joshua and Caleb, you were dead when you hit 60 years old. You didn't ever pass out to your 60th birthday, you were dead. All of them died in the wilderness. They didn't qualify for the long life stuff. Judgment was called on them because why? They tested God 10 times and he said, after 10, I'm done with you. It's pretty nice. Three strikes and you're out. Thank God God goes further than that. But they went to 10 and he said, no, not after this. He said, you're going to die in the wilderness. And he said, you guys said your kids are going to die here? He said, I ain't going to. He said, I'm going to take them in, but you're dead. Now, Joshua is a guy of faith. Thank God for Joshua. Now, this is what he says. Joshua's going to, verse 4, from the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man, now listen, he says to him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You see, people use that phrase and they get it out. It's quoted in the Old Testament, New Testament. People say, see, once you're saved, you're always saved. You'll never find that statement ever used in the context of salvation. That's where men preach false truth. It's never used in the context, once you're saved, you're always saved. But people always preach that stuff all the time. I don't, well, I guess it makes them happy. I can live like hell and I'll go to heaven anyhow. So I always tell people, if that statement's true, why don't we preach that with the gospel? Why don't we tell people, if you'll accept Jesus, then you can go live any old life you want. Because once you're saved, you're always saved. So, man, accept Jesus. We must be preaching it because most people, they accept Jesus, never stay in church or ever go anywhere. They go live like hell. So it must be, they must have got the message across to them. That just because you accept Jesus, you can go live any old life you want. You don't have to follow him. But he said, now listen what he says for him to do. Now we would think, because this man has had Moses lay his hands on him and he has this great anointing on his life. Now he's called to do something. He has a mission to fulfill for God. Now God's going to talk to him about prospering. Well, let's look at this prosperity in the light of what this prosperity is for. This prosperity that he's talking about here isn't about money at all. It's not about any money in his pocket. This prosperity is to carry out the will of God to divide the land up for the people. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You're going to need an anointing and some to take 2 million people into a place and get them to listen to you. You know how much fun Moses had taking from Egypt to this place. It was a great time. Wonderful time. He needs to have success. His success is this, is fulfilling the will of God, and he has to have the mind of God. If he does not, he ain't going to be able to do this because with the fussing and stuff that'll go on, he'll quit, he'll get over, and he'll after a while throw the towel in and say, oh no, you know. He'll listen to what they say. He'll listen to everything. He has his prosperity. God has put him on the road of a journey. And this is a huge thing, to be a leader of these people, going into a land where they never lived before, taking 12 tribes and dividing up, trying to keep these folk happy. I don't know about you. Man, I hope Donald Trump gets an anointing like this because he has to put up with a bunch of idiots in this land. I'm going to tell you, we need somebody with a big anointing. Because he had a lot of idiots to put up with. Because everybody, you know, even the Christians, he don't do everything they want. They'll be the big gripe as much or more than the sinner does. Well, praise God. It's good preaching anyhow, folks. Hallelujah. They said, no man. Now listen what he tells them. What do you have to do? Now he's done this. Now he didn't tell him, you're going to be strong. I said, he didn't say that. He told him, you, so in other words, we could put in further word, you, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. This is your job. This is what you're going to do. Moses was at first given that job. This is a transfer, and you need to understand this. You need to see this is going on. What's going to happen here? He doesn't have his own new vision of what he's going to do, or this new vision of what God's plan is, because Moses is dead, so we don't follow Moses' vision anymore. No, this is God's vision for these people, and he's going to carry out and fulfill Moses' vision. That's what he's going to do. He's going to fulfill Moses' vision, not a new one. I'm going to tell you, the vision for the end times has already been laid out, and people keep coming up with their new ideas. They need to knock it off. We need to follow the vision's already been laid out. It's been laid out. Hallelujah. Thank God. It don't need a new thing. Glory to God. I'm having enough trouble just following what the other one said to do. Glory to God. I'll just stay on track. So he's going to divide this land as an inheritance and land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, only be strong and very courageous. And says it again. Look, you got, this is about you. Be strong and courageous. You need to understand this. So many people are asking, Lord, give me strength. They want God to give them power to do what they don't want to do. You need to stand up and be strong. That's what you need to do. You're going to have to do that to get your mind renewed. You're going to have to be strong, or you'll be weak-willed and give in to everybody else around you. You'll give in to what other people and the general public is saying. And the general public does, you'll follow it. Generally, what the Christianity, well, the guy has a big ministry, so he must be right. You're going to have to be strong and be courageous. Man, we need to do that, the church. It is, we already got it in us. We're born again, children of God. We don't have a spirit of weakness and failure in it. We got the spirit of God in us, and our own spirit's been born in the nature of God. We got to stand up to things. You know, as Brother Hagin said, you know, that God wanted to have the church have a backbone like a crowbar, and he said most Christians have a backbone like a string. They used to talk about he was such a good teacher, but I wonder how them people miss those sayings that he used to say. Somehow God would always get him on a tape to me. Not have to repent, get in line again. But it seemed most people never heard him. Thank God I heard him. I heard those things. I thought, yeah, I got to get a backbone, I guess. I'm going to have to do something about this. I'm going to have to stand up. Many times we're asking God to do, and nothing ever changes because we're asking him to do what we're supposed to do. God's saying, look, I'm anointed you. Act like it. Act like it. Act in faith. See, we don't want faith. We want a feeling first. I want to feel strong. Then I'll believe I'm strong. Yeah, then as soon as you don't feel strong, you think it left. That's why you can't go to the feelings of this stuff. But now let's see, said. He told him, be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide the inheritance of the land. And he said, only be strong and very courageous. Why? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Did you see what he said there? Why do you want to be strong and courageous? To do the word. He didn't say, be strong and courageous so you can divide the land. So you can do the word. If you can do the word, you'll divide the land. If you can do the word, you'll fulfill the will of God. You can't fulfill the God outside of truth. You can't fulfill. And here's this man. Now, think about this being, this is interesting. What does he say? In other words, I want you to understand this and get it. The anointing wasn't enough. I don't care how much of an anointing God gives you. You're going to have to renew your mind and get into the word. The anointing is not going to carry you in everything. I learned that a long time ago. Thank God for the anointing. I thank God for the anointing. It comes on me to teach and preach the word. But you know what? I had to study the word to preach it. The anointing don't take the place of me getting into the word and renewing and changing the way I think. I have to do that. The anointing never changes that. Here, the anointing's not going to, look at this here. You may deserve to do the, according to all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may what? Prosper wherever you go. You're going to prosper by doing the word. You're going to prosper by following what Moses said, the teachings. See, this is one of the things I've always stayed with Kenneth Hagin, because the Lord told me I need to follow the areas that he taught and put into me. I need to follow this because that's God's vision for my life. It ain't some other group. I'm sorry, I ain't the Baptists. Now, they can follow whatever they want to. I ain't what I'm called to. What I'm called to, my success is what was put into me and to following those teachings. And I know this because the Lord said concerning Kenneth Hagin, the whole point that his ministry was is to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That was his point of his ministry, to get the church ready. Dear Lord, people act like we got to get the sinners ready. God's been working trying to get the church ready, and the church don't even pay attention. And the word's been put out, and the message has been put out, and people are following all kind of other stuff. They have their own visions, their own dreams, their own ideas. God's trying to get the church ready. God's trying to get, the church ain't even ready. In 1950, the Lord told him, says, many of my people are going to turn back at the end and won't follow me. They're not going to get, and I know why that's going to happen. Because many ministers ain't getting people ready. They're not following the plan that God had. They're doing their own thing. And what they think ought to be done. See, folks, I'm going to tell you, I'm in this place. I want to prosper and be in health. I want to get over in the flow. This is what this man had to do to be in the flow to prosper. His success was going to be by following the words that God gave Moses. God was, you know, everybody today, they want their own new vision. Man, dear Lord, you know, God don't have to give me my own new vision. You don't have to do any of that to me. The word I got's plenty enough. I don't need a new vision. Hallelujah. But I want to walk in the words, you know, and Kenneth Hagin, you know, stay with the word, get the word. He was always big with that. You get the word in you. You stay with the word. You move off the word. Many of the people that sit under his ministry today don't follow the word. They don't follow the word. They've gotten off into all kind of other doctrinal stuff and all kind of things. They ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Messing with it. Well, people like to hear it, see? Is what happens. The people determine the ministry by their itching ears. They like to hear certain stuff and they'll give good money to hear it so the preacher becomes what they want. Because the cash flows. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you might pay money to leave here. No, just kidding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he's supposed to be strong. This guy, he's told what he's supposed to do here, what God's called him to do. He has to follow the words that were given. He's commanding you. You're not supposed to turn from it from the right hand or the left, that you may wise, so then you can prosper wherever you go. So he's not talking about financial prosperity. Now, surely, them going into the land, they're going to be blessed. They're going to get houses and lands and vineyards. The Bible said that they didn't grow. They get this stuff. But that stuff means nothing if they don't follow the word. We find they get in the land after a period of time, they ain't following God. So getting stuff don't cause you to follow God. Getting stuff could be the big reason you don't follow God. This is why you got to grow spiritually and stay with it. Now look, he said, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, he didn't say, don't say it. What he's talking about, you only talk. In other words, you talk what God says. You talk. In other words, there's a language that has left the church. Back in the 80s, in the early 90s, man, we had the talk. And if you didn't talk the word, we would try to preach to you and tell you to get saved. You talk the word. You said the word about situations. You talk with the Bible. So you don't let it depart. Like I said, what do you do with it? You meditate on it day and night till you get into the land, and then you can lay your books down and don't have to look at that anymore and just have a good time when you get there. What did he tell them that his success was going to be? How was he going to prosper? He was going to prosper, but he said, you shall meditate in it. It what? The law, the book of Moses, in other words, what Moses gave to you, that God gave to Moses, those words, you're supposed to meditate on those words and those things that God gave through him. That's what you meditate. It says day and night. In other words, make that the meditation of your life. It's number one, I can say this. One of the reasons we have, like I remember back in the 80s, healing flowed much more freely in the churches than it does today. And it's why is because people have different meditation today. They aren't meditating on the word day and night. They're talking all kind of other stuff. People don't say the right things concerning health. Well, I'm believing God for healing. Well, I'm going to start it. I already believe I got it. You see, you get over it, you think, people think they're talking healing language, and they ain't talking healing language, they're talking world language. They're trying to convince God to heal him. I don't have to convince God to heal him. He already was convinced 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ when he died and rose from the dead to heal Ed. I mean, that was a done fixed deal before Ed ever even got born again. 2,000 years later, Ed finally comes to Jesus, and here I was healed all that time and didn't know it because I never heard it ever preached in a church. Because they were all trying to get something from God. And I found out, dear Lord, God already did something about this ignoramus. God already did stuff for me. I didn't know about it. Nobody ever told me. The truth was never preached. The priests were trying to get God to get me money. When I found out if I meditated on the word, my God, money will come to you. Your thinking must be changed first. Everybody's trying to get the stuff, and then when we get all the stuff we want, then we'll really get into this. You know, the big is going to come because we get all this money coming in. I'm going to tell you, you can't change the mind of the church. I don't care how much money you throw in for revival. You might as well burn it at the altar. I'm going to tell you what, a renewed mind, I'm going to tell you, heaven will blow up in the earth. Hallelujah. Men and women thinking like God, dear Lord, what may go on and what may happen? Hallelujah. You won't be chasing around for prosperity and healing. It'll be running you down. Glory to God. It's the natural thing that comes with it. You know, it's sort of like getting the benefits, you know. You know, you go to a place, you get a job, they have certain benefits that you get on the job. You don't have to do any certain things. It's because you're employed there, you get the benefit. People, I don't know, Christianity, they're always trying to work for the benefit. You're not working for the benefit. Your whole thing is you should be serving God, finding out what He wants. Follow Him. The benefits are all belong to you already. Hallelujah. That wonderful Gaius knew it. My God, I love Gaius. He already knew it. He's out there just acting, just doing the will of God, having it. And God comes along and say, Gaius, above everything, buddy, I want you to prosper and be in health. Hey, Gaius, boy. You're on the top of my list. Gaius didn't have to chase God. God chased Gaius. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was so excited when God came and talked to me about prosperity, what He wanted me to have. And I understood why He did, because I never made it my number one agenda. Never did. I never made having stuff number one in my life. I want to know what God wants done, and I want to do His will. And if I have money, what is He? Can he speak in? Can He talk to my wallet? See, many people keep talking to God's wallet, but God can't talk to their wallet. Hallelujah. So you get over the thing, and this is the whole thing, get in the right mindset. It'll change what you have to chase. Prosperity is supposed to be the natural. Sit down and read the Psalms under the law, what it talks about prospering and stuff. That was the natural from just following God. That was the natural thing to prosper. Go over. Look at Deuteronomy 28. If you obey the law, do what the word says. What do you say? You're going to have to chase and carry a basket around to try to find the money. You're going to have to try to go look to see where you can get the sheep and the goats and all that kind of, and the cattle. You're going to have to find all that out. No, it was all that. You follow this. Here's all the benefits that go with this thing. This is what goes with that. That goes along with it. You obey the Lord your God, and you do all that He says to do. You do that. This is what will overtake you. Glory to God. If it would overtake you under the law, my God, what's going to happen in the New Testament? We ought to get run over every day. Dear God. But the wrong mindset. The mindset of trying to get it instead of believing it is. It belongs to us. See, when God brought the revelation that money cometh, a lot of people missed that on that, what that revelation was about. And you know what? Many of the people began to seek more money again. No, money cometh. It cometh if you have the right mindset. If you have the wrong mindset, you'll keep trying to come to money. You're always trying to come to money. You don't do that. Joshua was told what he had to do here. He had to meditate on the word day and night. So what? That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. And then it says, for then, after you've meditated on this and done everything you're supposed to do, then he says, then you, he didn't say God was going to prosper. He says, you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. I want you to understand. See, if you and I get into the Word of God and we'll feed on the Word of God till it renews our mind, you'll automatically be prosperous. You're going to make right decisions. You're going to follow the stuff where you're reaping all the benefits of this Christianity that belongs to you, that you've been trying to get, but you didn't have to try to get it. It would come to us by getting into the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, putting it in us, beginning to talk the Word of God, do that all the time. And what? He said, you'll make your way prosperous. See, all this, well, you know, if you'll give, all the idea today in us is giving, is trying to make you prosperous. I am sorry, doing the Word causes me to be prosperous. I give because a part of doing the Word, not to try to get money. I don't have to try to get money. I fulfill the Word. I fulfill the Word. Money must come to me. It has to come to me. I fulfill the Word. I'm doing what the Word says. It's more blessed to give than receive. Is that true? I'm sorry, it's not preached today, but it's the truth. Because if you get that mindset, money will come to you. You don't have to go after it. That's the beauty. That's the glory of enjoy the giving, guys. Enjoy the giving. Have a good time about the giving. Rejoice in the giving. Hallelujah. My God, money will come to you. You know what I think about when money comes to me? I don't get ecstatic anymore. I don't get ecstatic about what I get up in the morning and I'm breathing. I don't get up and go, oh my God, I'm breathing this morning. Isn't this exciting? It's a natural thing there. You're just breathing. Hallelujah. And that's what stuff will come to you will be just as natural. That's the flow. That's the way God planned it. God planned it. You do the right things that money comes. You'll have wisdom in areas about doing things with money. It'll be a great blessing to you and others. You'll have wisdom on what to do, fulfilling the Word of God in your life and being blessed. That's God's plan. See, too much the church has tried to work at. We thought we just get anointed enough, or we just thank God for the anointing. But I tell you, the greatest success that I've seen, just listen to the Kenneth Hagin's teaching over the year and getting the Word of God to get the Word in you. He'd always say, get the Word in you. Meditate on the Word. Get the Word in you. Start doing what the Word says. That's the life of success. That's the life to be successful in everything in your life, not just getting money in. The success. You get to fulfill the dreams of your life. Your heart has things in it. Your heart has stuff in it that God wants to do that will never get fulfilled if you keep trying to, well, if I can do, just get this done. And I can. No, you follow what the Word says. You follow what God has told you to do. You walk in the light of that. You just do what God said. God didn't turn out and say, here, look, I'm sending you a map on how to lay that land out down there. He told him if he got the Word in him, he's going to know what to do when he gets over there. This guy went over there full of wisdom, and that wisdom was, spirit of wisdom wasn't going to work till he got the Word in him. He can't move away from the Word because he won't have the mind of God when he gets there. Many people face things in life and they've never meditated on the Word. And when they get there, they don't have no wisdom. And now they're looking for a prayer team. And now they're looking for this person or that person to pray for. This person to do this, that person to do that. But they've never taken the time to change their minds, to change the way they think so they can make right decisions in life. You want to make the right decisions. The Word of God. I'll tell you, take time with it. It's the greatest treasure that you were given. Jesus Christ is sitting in heaven. But you know what the Bible says about him? Our church's name. We're called Living Word Ministries. The Word became flesh. The Word of God and Jesus are synonymous. No man ever loved Jesus and don't like spending time in the Word. No man ever loved Jesus. Nobody ever, ever loved Jesus and don't spend time in the Word because Jesus is the Word. And if you love Jesus, man, the book is good. The book is good. The book is good. Woo! The book is good. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the book. Hallelujah. And the more you get the book in you, the more you get Jesus in you. The more you get, the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. Think about this. It says you have it. See how important Christian? I have a guy just write me a note not long ago, gave it to me, pray for him that he would get the mind of Christ. Here he is, born again Christian, don't know. He has the mind of Christ already in him. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Holy Spirit's living in you. But you see, you go to wrong churches. You go to churches that teach all the superficial stuff and that. They play all the games and all that kind of stuff, but they don't know. You have the mind of Christ. It says we have the mind of Christ. Why would I go around trying to get what I got? Asking me to pray for him to get the mind of Christ. Well, then I'd say, well, then what he's really saying, now I know this, he's saved, but he's talking like he's not. And then wonders why he don't, I got to get the mind of Christ. If I can only find it somewhere, maybe go to Mike's house and he has it on a shelf someplace. Maybe we can find it in there. It's on a jar in a thing, you know, it's pickled, and we could get the mind of Christ out. We'll get that on there. Or maybe that's just eggs in there. I don't know. But we could get this thing. But see, this is what people do. They're not walking by faith. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ, and the church is trying to get the mind of Christ. We got the book that has the mind of Christ. We got the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher of the book. And we're trying to get the mind of Christ. Dear God, it's all in there. Hallelujah. It's all working in there. We already have it. You start talking, thank God I have the mind of Christ. I ain't looking for it. Dear Lord, it was given to me by God himself. I ain't going to go around and act like I ain't got it. I ain't going to lie on God and then talk about I believe in truth. And then go tell lies on God like, well, I got saved and he didn't give it to me. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. He got it out of that pickle jar there, and he gave it to you. You wondered what that was, wasn't you? He went down to the Smithsonian. They have a whole lineup of those things in there. Just go down and ask them for one. They probably haven't been used much. The people, if it's from most, they're from politicians, so they're hardly used. Most of them are under 20,000 miles. Might as well laugh. But we have them. But see, it's getting over there, realizing the glory that God has already done. And it's starting to talk like he's done it in us. This is why God said to Joshua, you meditate in the word, you meditate in that law, and then you do what it says, Joshua. You're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success. You ain't going to be sitting and having prayer meetings trying to get God to prosper you. You're not going to be going, oh God, what's the matter? I don't understand why things are going wrong. You're going to know the will of God. You're going to do them. You're going to prosper. He said, you're going to make your, Joshua, if you'll meditate on the word. He didn't say, Joshua, that anointing of wisdom on you is going to really work great and prosper you. If it was by that, then you and I have no place in this thing, and we can't guarantee, because I don't have Moses' anointing. Do you? Paul wrote to the Romans, told them, renew your mind. What's the purpose for it? So you can know what's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You don't renew your mind to get money or to get something else. It's so you know what the perfect will of God. Most people are trying to get money, and they don't know if God even wants to really bring them to heaven. Many people want healed, but they don't know if God wants to heal them. Maybe he wants them sick. See, they don't know the will of God. They don't know good. They don't know his good will. Surely don't know his perfect will. And this is why, as they hooking up the word, you get over to the area where you start to walk in the you start knowing the perfect will of God. You realize how many Christians don't know the perfect will of God concerning health? Majority of Christians don't. Majority of Christians don't know the perfect will of God concerning health. Majority spirit-filled Christians don't know the perfect will of God concerning health. They don't know it. They'll even say, well, God wants me well. Well, then how come you can't get well? Oh, no. They don't know. They don't know how to attain it. So what is it good to know that God wants you to have something but you can't ever grab a hold of it? What good? Who cares? It isn't a great thing to know something belongs to you but you can never have it. I have $1 million in the bank but I can't ever get it out. Oh, that's really helpful. I'm a millionaire living in a cardboard box. That's Christianity today. Christianity is the billionaire living in the slum. They've been the billionaire living in the slum. Why? They haven't done what God said you had to do to be a success. He didn't say, if you get a great anointing, you get a great anointing. Kenneth Hagin said this concerning healing. Of understanding how to teach faith, Kenneth Hagin said this. When he left the Baptist, well, he sort of got the left foot of fellowship among, he used to call it the left foot of fellowship among the Baptists, because he got filled with the Holy Ghost and they said goodbye. You know, they didn't want that. But he had pastored a Baptist church. And he said this when he came over among the Pentecostals. He said this, we had more healing in our Baptist church than he said the Pentecostals had. Because the Pentecostals knew nothing about acting in faith on the word of God to be healed. They only ministered by the anointing. He said, we didn't know anything about healing anointing, but I knew how to teach the people faith. And he said, people get healed all the time by faith. You'll never see as many healings. You might go to some kind of meeting and see there were these healings, but generally in the church, the majority of healings you're going to see is people operating in faith and not by anointings. If you get the word of God in you, you can get healing anytime. You can receive it anytime. You have to receive healing. God don't give it to you. You're going to receive it. It's like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've had people over the years come to me, I want God to give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'd say, well, you can't. Forget it. He's already sent it. You got to receive it. It isn't a matter of him giving. It ain't him giving. It ain't about him giving it. He don't give it. It's already been given. The day of Pentecost, it came. It's here. It's already been sent. What I got to do, you know, I don't ask God to give me Jesus. The Bible tells as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. You receive him. Jesus has already been given. Nobody has to get Jesus to come. Nobody has to get healing to come. Nobody has to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come. It's all already come. It's all already here. It's been put in the earth. The gift of God is already showed up. It's here. What we do is receive it. See, many people are praying, trying to get it, and all kind of stuff. See, people tell me about them praying for healing. Well, what are you praying about? What is it that you're praying? Oh, in 2 seconds, I can get it over with. Thank God, I believe I receive it. Hallelujah! It's mine, belongs to me. Okay, there was the prayer meeting. Now, there's a lot of things we can spend praying to God time, but most people spend all their time praying about the useless. They're praying for the things that already belong to them. They don't ever receive them. They're always trying to treat God like they're trying to get him. Maybe if I do this, and maybe if I do that, and if I pray real long, and maybe I'd get a little tear once in a while here or there, he'll barely be moved, you know? He'll just really care because, no, I tell you what, I'm in real anguish here. I tell you, I'm having a hard time. So therefore, God is moved because you're having a hard time. Well, if that was it, he'd be over in Iraq helping them people in Iran for sure more than anybody. Hallelujah. Wouldn't he? If he was moved by the anguish and torment, hallelujah, it's about people of faith. It's about faith. See, I just want to encourage you in this area. See, God is speaking to us and saying above all things, above everything. He's saying to us here, I want you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Let's get our soul prospering. The more we get our soul prospering, the more the benefits come. The more the benefits become a part of things. When Kenneth Hagin talked to the Lord one time and he asked him about why in the church world, he said, why is there so much sickness today? He said, years ago, he said, we didn't have as much sickness and disease in the church is going on. He said, you didn't have as much as you got today. And he asked the Lord why. Well, it was a simple answer. Unrenewed minds. He said, the Lord said to him, people lived better lives back then than they do today. See, they don't get the word in them. See, we have this casual Christianity. You're saved and you don't have to really walk and do that. You can still mess with stuff and do things and you can still have it, you know, and it's all right. It's okay. Joshua's success was not in doing part of the law. It wasn't success in listening to preachers. Once you're saved, you're already saved. So if you're living like hell, you're still just going to heaven anyhow. So have a big time. I ain't preaching that message, folks, if you've noticed. I don't preach that message. I won't preach the devil's message. I won't do it. I don't tell you. I don't for anybody. I don't care how it disturbs someone at all. I don't even really care. Hallelujah. I won't preach the truth because one day you're going to stand in front of Jesus and Jesus is going to say, you should listen to it. He had it right. But see, renewing our mind, and this is what I encourage you to do. Spend your time in renewing your mind in the Word of God. Spend your time renewing, knowing what the Word says about things. Spend your time doing that. See, it's one of the things that's teaching. That's why, you know, I come in here in 20 minutes and you guys go out of here, it'd been a waste of time. It'd have been a waste of your time and a waste of my time. You know, if you want that kind of church, that's fine. But you ain't ever going nowhere. You know? My words. If I take all the hours of study and stuff I've done over the years and going to Bible school and all the things that I went through to learn things, to know stuff, I'm going to tell you, if I did all that in vain and it didn't matter what I know and it came down to when some ignoramus comes along and says, you don't need to repent anymore. Dear God, cast the devil out of that moron. Because that's all he got is a devil. No, it's all these things in the world. You want success? You want to maintain joy in trouble? You change the way you think. I'm going to tell you, you can pray for joy all you want. You can pray and want peace all you want. And your mind's squirrely and thinks like the world has. That's what you're going to have. You're going to have what you let your mind run and think. You got to get yourself over and fill it with the Word and fill it with the Word and fill it with the Word till you change. I just had a minister friend tell me concerning his wife. His wife got over, she had had a kidney problem, and they gave her a certain antibiotic, and they found out later she started having mental problems, but it came from the antibiotic. They gave her an antibiotic that was way too strong. It was used for people who usually are dying of cancer. And they gave it to her just on a regular kidney thing. And I see, this is why you got to pay attention to doctors. I tell you, I sit and sometimes and doctors say stuff, and I know inside of me something's wrong. I don't settle for stuff just because some guy says he's educated. I don't care how smart, if something in the inside don't seem right, Ed don't buy it. I got to find out what it is. Why did I get a check on that? But she got her mental, you know, she was having a very difficult time mentally because it don't just mess it up while you take it. The stuff remains. And they looked and found out that people have years and sometimes the rest of their life don't change. But he said, they got her over getting in the Word and she just sitting and listening, teaching and stuff, dealing with her mind and health and stuff, and got over. And he said, man, she's just absolutely fine. He said, she's absolutely fine. Got over listening, putting those things in her. See, most people spend all their time going to the doctor, going there, looking for this, looking for that, trying to straighten it out. Maybe if we turn around and eat this certain vegetable, and then I heard only if you do this and you do that, then we'll get our diet. Now, if I get the diet straightened out, he'll get this and get that. Got in the Word, and the Word did it. The Word got her mind back. He said she was doing it day and night. He said every spare time that she had, she was listening to things and reading the Word and reading books and doing stuff, getting her mind renewed and changed. And he said, her mind's completely good now. So she's not having any trouble with it. Not having any trouble. Well, it's the Word of God, dear Lord. She got the Word in her, and the Word produced a sound mind. She has the mind of Christ. See, I've done that many times. Your mind's giving you trouble? I'd say, no, my mind ain't giving me trouble. I have the mind of Christ. I don't know what, I'm not taking that flaky one that's trying to act up. That one don't belong to me. That flaky mind ain't mine. I have the mind of Christ. Jesus ain't an idiot. He ain't thinking strange thoughts. He ain't doing weird things. I have the mind of Christ. See, you got to get over talking right. See, most people, I'm just believing God for healing in my mind. I'm just believing God for healing. And going nowhere. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. I knew a long time ago. My words, if I have the mind of Christ, I got that. I'm the biggest genius you ever met. I have the potential to thinking any great thought that could be thought. Isn't that right? Well, you too. You too. But, see, we get over there and get in the natural and start talking the natural stuff. You don't get your mind renewed. You know, because the devil will come along and give you the weirdest thoughts you ever had in your life. Give you something strange. And then tell you, well, you probably ain't saved. You're so squirrely. Nobody ever had such a thought as that. And I just know, thank you, I got the mind of Christ. That's what I have. Thank you very much. I thank you for bringing that up so I can be reminded of that. Thank you. Don't he like to stay around long when you talk? But most people entertain it. Yeah, I wonder what's wrong with me. I wonder why I did that. Maybe I ain't right with God. Who knows? That's why you get your mind renewed. You get your mind renewed. I just encourage you folks in that. Do it. Do whatever you need to do. Take the time to get yourself renewed. Because if you don't, it's going to limit your prospering in life and it's going to limit your health. You're going to be limited to how your mind runs, how your mind focuses. That's what it is. I've learned a long time ago, health, healing, all that kind of stuff, prosperity, it's all in how you think. Do you ever notice naturally that people who are wealthy do not think about wealth like the average person does. And that's why most of them, you can take all their money tomorrow, and in a couple years, they'll be a millionaire again. And you know why? Because they don't think like the average guy who complains about the millionaire. Yeah. If you're a person who complains about the rich guy, you're the problem, not him. If you're the guy that turns around and worries about whether, I don't care what some guy don't pay his taxes or not, that ain't my problem. He might be an ingrate in some ways, but if he knows how to make some money, he maybe ought to listen to somebody. But they think a totally different way. They don't think about being poor. They don't think about poverty. They think about having money. You got to get that mentality in you. You got to get that mentality. It's when God got a hold of Leroy Thompson, told him money cometh. If you don't have that mentality that money comes to you, that you're out trying to get it, you got to change your mentality. And that's the whole thing God was doing. God was changing a mindset in a man who was limited because of the way he thought about money. Money comes and money goes. That's the way he thought. That's the way he thought. Easy come, easy go. You know, as soon as I get money, something comes out, I got to throw my money away at it. I don't care what comes. I can buy it and then pay for it and turn around and get some more. Dear God, who cares? This earth ain't running out of money, and it ain't running out of gold. Quit listening to those stupid advertisements. My God, those morons. Dear Lord, if you listen to that stuff, you're insane. You know, they've been preaching for the last, gold people have been preaching for the last 3 or 4 years that gold was going to be worth $10 million an ounce. They keep preaching this stuff out here, and you know what? They've been making money off this stuff. Making you think, and it ain't happening. It ain't happened. In fact, gold right now is lower than it was back at the end of 2014. I was like, hold it! You're telling guys you got to buy this thing. You know what? You got to have faith. God turned this economy around. God turned this economy around. I'm going to tell you, the dollar's already worth more. Just on the hopes that we're getting rid of the guy we got. No, I just want to think. I just think about that. Now, I want you to understand something. All of that's on the thinking of the mind changes everything. If you can change the mind of people, you can change the economy. Poverty thinking got to get out of the church. Too many church, when it comes to wealth and things, they got a mind about that big. The stock market can't go any higher. Get a different guy or elect a president, it goes higher. Now, what do you say to these things? What can we say to this stuff? Well, we know this. Since he's got in, the money in the stock market's been shifting. The people that were getting it all ain't getting it. It's been shifting. God's doing things, folks. God's doing things, folks. And I want to tell you what, if I need gold, he'll bring the gold. If we need the dollars, it's already been prophesied back over 4 years ago. It's prophesied concerning Donald Trump being president. It was prophesied. And in that prophecy, it talked about the prosperity of America coming back. You're listening to these guys that are telling, everything's going to fall apart. I'm going to tell you what, it's not. I will not say it. It's been spoken. It's been spoken. Prosperity is coming. Hallelujah. Randall Greer, he's been prophesying that. I tell you what, this revival is going to bring great things. And I tell you, I'm not going to be one of the naysayers, one of these people sitting out there doing all this complaining. I want to have my voice speaking the right thing, because when the money comes, it ain't going to come to the ones who have been sitting talking the nonsense. And I'm going to tell you what, it's coming to us. Hallelujah. It's coming to us, because we ain't going on that road, folks. We ain't riding that train. Hallelujah. We got one that we're on, and I'll tell you, let's stay on this train. Let's get our minds thinking in the right way. If God said it, I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what it looks like. God's word will prevail. Our success depends on the word of God. It don't depend on Ed. It don't depend on you. It depends on the word of God. If you'll think his thoughts and talk his thoughts, I'll tell you, you'll be blessed. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. We went a long time, but I tell you what, we're on a road that's going to be so great, folks. We're on a road. Hallelujah. We're heading down a road. And God's saying, hallelujah, above all things. Above all things. That's what He's saying to us. Above all things. Hallelujah. What I want for you is to prosper and be in health. Above everything. That's what I want for you. Hallelujah. He said, as your soul prospers. And I tell you, we're just going to keep preaching the word here. And we want our minds changed and changed. And we don't want to hear something one time. We're going to talk about things over and over again. Why? Because it takes to hear things over and over to get your mind changed on it. Until we get it in us, I'll tell you what, hallelujah, we want to arrive at the place that God can do everything that He wants to do through us. He can fulfill it. He can fulfill all of His plans and all of His purposes. And I'll tell you this, if He's able to do that, all your dreams will come true. The things that you dream for will come true. Following the will of God. The Lord spoke to me a number of times years ago. He would say things to me when I walked around, did His will, and He would come along, because you did this for me, this is what I'm going to do for you. And I would always be things that I had a thing in my heart. I wanted something to come to pass. And here He is giving it to me. He's going to give it to me. Fulfilling your dreams. It's like when the Lord told me He was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in it. You can spend all your time spending nights and days praying, trying to get something done in that. Or you could get over and do the will of God, and God comes and visits you and said, you know, because you did my will. In other words, you did what the Word said, I'm going to bring your family in. Because you did what I told you to do, I'm going to bring your family in. See, that's the benefits. They're the benefits. And this is where the church needs to go to. This was the whole point of faith was being taught. Not so we can just get houses and lands and all that kind of stuff. Faith was taught to us so we could do the will of God. So God would be the one bringing the blessing to us, and we're not chasing the blessing. The blessing comes. I don't have time to chase the blessing and do the will of God. I ain't got time. I ain't got time to chase the stuff. I don't have time for that. Hallelujah. We want to do the will of God, and God can sure bring that stuff to me easier than I can go get it. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, here this morning in this place, You said above all things that You desire. All things. Above all things. And Lord God, you've been reminding me all this week. You've been reminding me about that, above all things. And this people, above all things, You want them.